Today's Shir is Masech Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, Amun Aleph, right at the top of Amud Bari, Rav Bari Heich. We discussed in our previous Shir, if somebody as a Shchimera gives his wife all of his assets, Kaisa Kol Nechasov, somebody writes all of his assets over to his wife, we had learned in our previous shir that the way the halacha looks at it is if he only meant to make her into an apotropos. Today's shir begins by asking a question. By Rav Bari Heich, what is the halacha? Will the same halacha apply if somebody was a healthy individual and he wrote this kind of a language? Do we say when somebody is making this kind of a declaration as a shchimera, there he's concerned because he's in this terrible situation that he's a shchimera, and as we also have discussed, because the halacha is divrei shchimera k'ksuvim mesurim dami, the Chazal gave the shchimera this extra authority, this extra power, and therefore, by Shchimera, that's how we explain what he meant. The Nichlad L'shtama Milan, Ava Babari, Haki Uhu, he is alive, and as we said in our previous shir, the reason somebody would want to write this kind of a language is because he wants to show honor to his wife, and he's concerned that he's passing away, and he won't be here to make sure that his wife gets the proper respect. But somebody who's Baruch Hashem healthy doesn't have that concern. He's here to make sure that his wife gets the proper respect. And since he's here to make sure his wife gets the proper respect, we can't say that was his intention by writing this, by making this type of a declaration. But perhaps Bari Nami, even by Bari Nichle, he wants the Shtama Mila Mahashta that they should show respect to his wife, and he should get that message across to his children that this is what he wants. Toshma. So Gemara attempts to bring a raya from the following brisa. Says the Gemara, Hakosev Peiris Nechosev. If somebody writes over the Peiris that grow in his assets, the way you could do that is either, explains the Rashbam, that those payers, these payers that you're transferring already exist. And since these payers already exist, you could already make this type of a kinyan. Or, as we've discussed in previous shurim, what you could do is you could decide to dekala peyrosov, if the property on which you're speaking about is already in existence. So what you're saying is that this property should be here to be given, to be transferred to this individual. And this person wrote these papers to his wife. Goivik sabosim in a karka. If the husband will die, she's entitled to collect the ksuba from this property itself. And we don't say that because he gave her this gift, what he gave her, what she gave him in exchange was the right, she was Meichel Ksuba. And even if he gave a Machsa Shlish Revia, even if he gave a 25 or a third or a quarter, 25% or a third or a 50% of the property, the loch is, since the entire property was not given over to her, Goyvik Subasa Manashar, she'll have the ability to collect the ksuba from the rest of the property. And as the Rishonim explained what this Gemara means to say, that not only in a case where he only gave her peiros, not only in a case where he only gave a peiros, do we say that she wasn't Michael the ksuba, but even in a case where he actually gave her a share of the property, that doesn't mean that she gave up her right to the ksuba. The Chambayimrim, the Chamim disagree, and the Chamim say that by accepting this gift, that she was Meichel Ksuba, and tikkur ksuba, so, and she has to rip up ksuba, she has no right to collect for the ksuba. V'tamid al matanosa, and all she will be entitled to is the matana that she got. V'nimtzis, and she says, it says the Gemara, v'nimtzis karachs mekan and mekan. The halacha will be that the shtar ksuba, she will not be able to collect anymore. And because the halacha will be that if the husband owes money to somebody, and that shtar mat, that shtar choiv that the husband has precedes this shtar matana, so they have a prior obligation. And because they have a prior obligation, so then the halacha is that she will be left with nothing. The Bali Choyv will collect what are owed to them, and the Ksuba she won't collect because she's not entitled to the Ksuba. However, the Ritva makes a very important point. The Ritva says that the halacha the Gemara is speaking about is only in a case where it's not clear that it was the husband's intention that he should try to hurt her. But in a case where it becomes obvious that it was the husband's intention to hurt his wife by doing this, then the whole transaction is declared invalid. Such a situation happened with my niece, who was a kala, that the husband wrote over all of his assets to her, and then the Baal Choyv that preceded that Shtar Matana came to collect what's owed to him, and this came to the Chachamim, Vamru, and the Chazal Paskin Tikr Ksubasa, she rips up the Ksuba because she was Meichel the Ksuba, the Tamla Matanasa, and the Matana that he gave her is a valid Matana, and since that Matana existed prior to the matana, so that's why she ended up nimtza karachas mikan and mikan. She ended up with nothing. Tama, says the Gemara, but what's the reason that she loses this property? The yotzal shtar chayiv, as we've been saying, there's a shtar chayiv that preceded this gift. However, hala yotzal shtar chayiv, if that were not the circumstances, kanya, then the nechassim will become hers. And the question is, b'mai, what is it? If we're saying that this was done while the husband was a shimera, ask the Gemara Amrit, haven't we been saying in our shir, loyasal apotropos? All he's accomplished with this is that she, with this declaration, all he's trying to accomplish is that she should become the apotropos. Elalav, it must be that this Bryce is speaking about a bari. And we learn from here, going back to the question we began our shir with, if somebody writes over his assets to his wife, it doesn't mean like a shimera who writes those assets, that the halacha is that when a shimera writes those assets, it means that she's going to be his apotropos, but rather here it means that kanya, she becomes the full-fledged owner of those assets, with all the pluses and minus is attached to that. Says the Gemara, that this proof that you try to just say is not necessarily correct, says the Gemara, because Loilam we will say that the Bryce is speaking about the Shchimera. Ravira, my Mukula Bakula, that Ravira is going to speak about the cases that we had in our previous year, where in the previous year, the Gemara said that even by a shchimera who wrote his assets to his wife, and we've been saying that under normal circumstances, when a shchimera writes his assets to his wife, what he means to do with that declaration is to make her an apotropos. In certain cases, we know that that isn't what it meant. What does it mean? Because Ruvina Mukula, because Ruvina explained, Bishta Arusa, when they only had Erisin, and they or Ishta Grusha, or she was a wife that they were divorced. In both of these cases, even if he wrote all of the assets over to her, since they have this relationship, then the halacha is that he didn't, it's clear that he did not mean to make an apotropos, he meant to actually give it to her. And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, the way to understand what Ravina and Rav Avira are saying here is not a machloikis. Rav Avira is just explaining that we're speaking about a case where even though he's a shchimera, it's clear that he didn't make, he did not intend to make her an apotropos. All that Ravina comes to do is tell us what is that case. What is the case that we say that we saw that a shchimera, even though he wrote over his assets to a woman, all of his assets, he didn't mean to make it into apotropos. That is the case of ishta arusa v'ishta grusha, but it's not a machloikus. Another teretz that the Yad Ramah says that the Gemara could have offered is everything that we're discussing in our shiurim is because there was ambiguity in what he said. There's ambiguity in what he means, what he writes. But in a case where there is no ambiguity, he writes explicitly, I mean to give it as a matana, or I mean to give her as a matana. So then there's no question that he didn't mean to make her an apotropos. It's very clear that in that case, what he meant to do was make her into a, in that case, he meant to make her, to give her a gift. In such a case, there's no room for question that that's what he meant. So, says the Gemara, Amar of Yosef ben Yuni, Amar of Nachman, halacha, the halacha in this case, where he wrote the assets to his wife, tikra, the halacha is that we view what he did as, we view as what he did is that she was Michael the Ksuba, and he gave her the assets as a gift, and therefore, if the shtar choiv that is presented against him preceded this gift, nimtza karachs mikan and mikan. And the Rishonim point out that why was it necessary for Rav Nachman to tell us that the halacha is this way? This is the opinion of Chachamim, and we know that whenever we have a machlokes, yachad the rabbim, halacha k'rabbim. So of course we're going to follow the opinion of the Chachamim. So the Rashbam explains, because since we're going to find in the Gemara that there were questions on this opinion, so it's not that obvious and not that clear that we should pass like the Chachamim. That's why Rav Nachman felt the need to say explicitly that this is the halacha. Ask the Gemara, according to this, lememra, the loyozo Rav Nachman basa umdana. In halacha, there's a concept of umdana. Umda means a fair assumption. Now, to assume that a wife is walking away from a ksuba is a very difficult assumption. And yet the Gemara is saying that that's what we're going to do and assume that she agreed to walk away from her ksuba. V'tanya, says the Gemara, I'll show you that the halacha is not that way. Because the halacha is, Haresh alach b'noi l'medina sayam, if somebody's son went overseas and a report comes back, v'shama shemes b'noi, and he hears that that his son unfortunately passed away, and the way the Achronim explained this Gemara, that he has no other sons. And therefore, unfortunately, this person says to himself, I have no Yorish. So he has to decide what should be done with his assets. He writes that they should go to this individual. Then his son shows up. The halacha is matanasa matana. What he did is done. Because since he wasn't careful to say, well, I'm only giving it to this other person because I'm assuming my son is dead, therefore, he gave it as a gift. And since he gave it a gift, a gift is a gift. But Rav Shimon ben Asya disagrees. And he says, "Ei matanos matana. Shilo yedei shebenoi kayim. Would he know that his son was alive? Certainly, like Kosvan, he would not have given away his assets to somebody else. V'amrav Nachman, alok Rav Shimon ben Asya. We follow the umdana that's certainly what he meant to do. So why over here, says the Gemara, are we going contrary to the umdana and assuming that the wife was ready to give up the ksuba, which is certainly counterintuitive. Wives are not prepared to give up the ksuba normally. Answering Marshani Hacha, the nichala, it's she actually is very satisfied. The nichala, the typical color, the kusvan nadala lahana nchasim. She's very happy that there should be a kol that the husband wrote over all of his nechasim to her. Because what does that type of a situation represent? It represents that the husband loves her, cares for her, was willing to write over all of his nechasim to her. So even though the price that she's paying for that is that she's meichel the ksuba, it's a price that she's willing to pay for that point. So our Gemara has been teaching us about an umdana, when we rely on an umdana, and when we do not rely on an umdana. But, of course, the Rishonim, Taisus, and the Ritva asked the question that throughout Shas, we know there's a klal, there's a rule, dvarim shebelev en advarim. Things have to be said explicitly for them to have meaning. So why over here are we relying on a umdana? And the Rishonim, therefore, differentiate. And they say there are different types of umdana. And when we have an umdana that is obvious, that is belev kol adam, when it's an obvious umdana, there, even though the halachi is that dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, under that, in those circumstances, the halachi is that we could follow an umdana. What will be asked Rabbi Chanan? Our Gemara spoke about a case where the person heard a rumor that his son, Rachman Slon, died, and because of that rumor, he gave away all of his assets to someone else. And then his son shows up, and Rav Shimon ben Asya, as we just explained, says we fouled Umdana that he would have never given them away if he knew his son was alive. What would be the halacha, asks Rabbi Chanan, if his son was indeed dead? But what happened was that another son was born to him after he gave the assets away to someone else. When he gave the assets to someone else, he thought that he doesn't have a son and he will not have another son. But here it turns out that Baruch Shem, later on, he has another son. Can we apply Rav Shimon ben Asya's svara that certainly nobody would give away all of their assets if they knew they're going to have a son? So he answers that even though there's a rule, l'shavik inish b'rei v'yav l'achrina, that person would not abandon a son and give to someone else, that's only in a case that where he knows about that son. So in a case where he knows that is about that son, we could safely assume he's not going to think about someone else instead of thinking about his son. But in a case where that son doesn't exist, such as what we just discussed, there we don't have such a concept. But the Cheshukei Chemed quotes a shach, Echoy Shemishpet Simen Reish Mem Vov Sivkot Aleph, that quotes the Maram Rabbi Lublin, that even if there were children born afterwards, it's clear, according to Rav Shimon ben Asya, that follows on Umdana, that we can rely on the Umdana that he certainly did not mean to give away his assets if he knew he's going to have another son. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha of Rav Shimon ben Asya, says that this entire discussion we had in our Gemara is only in a case where the father gave the entire estate to someone else. But if he didn't give away all of his possessions to someone else, then even though the son shows up, the fact that the father did not give away all of the assets, why didn't he give away all the assets? If he was convinced that his son is dead, it must be that he wasn't convinced his son is dead. And he gave him away to this other individual because he wanted to give him away to this other individual. And therefore, says the Rambam, in that case, we don't assume that he gave it away because he thought his son is dead. The Ramban says a different halacha. The Ramban says that this entire Gemara that we just learned only applies to a shchimira. But if the person is a healthy person and he still gives away all of his assets, why is a healthy person, says the Ramban, giving away all of his assets? Doesn't he need to continue living? Doesn't he need those assets to live? Says the Ramban, the fact that he gave away all of his assets is clearly an indication that this person doesn't care. And therefore, that gift will be, if it's a healthy person that did it, then the halacha is, it would be not, says the Ramban, the halacha of Shimon Manasseh would not be applicable. We can't rely on this umdana that Rav Shimon Manasseh is introducing, and the gift would be a good gift under any circumstances. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Hasan. The Mishnah in Masech Tepeya, Paragimel Mishnah Zayin, teaches us. Hakosev Nechosev Lubonov. Somebody writes over his assets to his children, the Kosev, and he also wrote, Lishta Karka Kosev, that he's giving his wife some property. And again, as we've been learning through our shir, he didn't indicate what he meant by doing so. Does he mean that he's giving her, but she's giving up the ksuba? Of the ksubasa, so the Mishnah says, she can no longer collect the ksuba. Because the fact that she accepted the ksuba, accepted this gift, it means she's giving up the ksuba. But the Rashbam makes an important point. Yes, we're saying she gave up the ksuba by accepting this gift, but even though we say she's giving up her ksuba by accepting a gift, it's only that she can't collect her ksuba from any assets that the husband had at the time of his giving her this gift. But assets that he attains after giving the gift, that she can collect from. Mishum, ask the Gemara, how do we understand this? Mishum the kosel akaka kosu, because he gave her the small gift of the ksubasa, she gives up her ksuba. Answers the Gemara, Amma Rav, it's referring to a situation, b'mezaklehem al yoda, that he gave her, he did a kinyan with her, how they will get in the chosim. So she agreed to be the individual that will attain ownership of these assets for the sons. What is she showing with this? She's showing that she's satisfied with this transaction and she wants to participate with it. And the Ritva adds a dimension to this. The Ritva adds the fact that she views this as an act of the husband showing her covet, that he's using her as an integral part of this transaction, she's willing to give up a ksuba. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, it's speaking about a case, b'mechalik l'fanev ishesakas. And as the Rashbam says, that by him doing this all in front of her, and she remains quiet, that again, is a proof that she's agreeable to this. And as the Rashbam also explains, Shmuel is more lenient than Rav. Because according to Rav, we could only follow this halacha in a case where she's an active participant, in this transaction. If she's not an active participant in transaction, Rav wouldn't be lenient. But according to Shmuel, Shmuel is lenient even when she is not an active participant. She's just standing there. That's enough. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina Amar, says the Gemara, Ba'aymala, when he said it very clearly, Talik Kakalach B'Ksubasach, take this property, and with your accepting this property, you will not be entitled to the Ksub anymore. And presumably, he's the most machmer. So we have her full-fledged consent. And only because we have a full-fledged consent, does it mean that she is Meichel Ksuba. Says the Gemara, Kulei Ksuba Shanukan. Because the halacha is that if somebody owes somebody else money, in order for that obligation to be forgiven, you have to have a full-fledged forgiveness. Anything else is not going to accomplish that. By ksuba, we're more lenient. And by ksuba, all of these situations are enough to explain, are enough to create that she's meichel on the ksuba. And the Rashbam explains why is that so. Because there's a rule, a klal, that the Gemara often says in Shas, Yoise me ish roitzli nase, ish roitzli nase. A woman is anxious to get married. Tav lemesav tandu, lemesav armala. A woman always wants to be married. And therefore, even though the ksuba explained the Rashbam, was created to protect the wife, there isn't such a great concern about that protection. And the reason we don't have such a great concern about that protection, because she really anyway is anxious and prepared to get married. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech the Pei says, Rabbi Yosef, im kiblala, if she explicitly said that she's meichel, any obligations to her, api shlei nosin lo, even though he didn't give her anything in exchange, of the subasa, that's enough for her to lose her ksuba. That means that the Rashbam explains that the woman accepted that she will be a participant, a shut of a partner with the sons. That's enough. Rabbeinu Yonah says that you don't have to have that. Rabbeinu Yonah says even if she didn't actually get anything, just the fact that she's agreeable is enough to be meichel de ksuba. Mechlal, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in that Mishnah. Mechlal the Tanna Kamma Sover, isn't this an indication that the opinion of Tanna Kamma is the ksiva the Kabbalah boy, that we, in order for a mechila to happen, we have to have that he should write her over the property, and she should explicitly say that she accepts it. To which Rabbi Yossi says that, no, her acceptance alone is enough. So isn't this clearly a question that all the Amoraim that we learned on the bottom of Amud Aleph said that as long as she's acceptable, then it's fine. Here we see that that's not the opinion of Tantam Kama. So you'll say, says the Gemara, that all of those opinions follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Ask the Gemara Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa, Om Rabbi Huda, who's coming to explain the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, says, Amasai, when do we say that if he wrote her the karka, she loses the ksuba? Shahoy Sisham, the kiblala. She was there and was quiet and accepted what happened. Aval Hoy Sisham, if she was there of like kiblala, she didn't explicitly accept what is happening. Kiblalah, or she accepted it. She wasn't. Because if she was there, but she didn't explicitly accept, so her silence doesn't represent anything. Or if she accepted it, but she wasn't there, so she could say, I only accepted it because I just wanted to make my husband happy. So what do we see from here? That the Mishnah, we can't say that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because we're seeing that the opinion of the Tanna Kamma is that when do we say she gives up the ksuba? Only when it's very, very clear that she means to give up the ksuba, that she wrote and accept. But the Amoraim that we explained on the bottom of Amud Aleph said that you don't need to have that. So suggest the Gemara. To Yufta, now we have a question, we have a refutation on what Rav said, on what Shmuel said, and what Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina said to Yufta. So indeed, all of their explanations are refuted because those explanations do not follow the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. But ask the Gemara, or says the Gemara, Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman. Her Rav, but we do have the opinion of Rav. Her Shmuel, we have the opinion of Shmuel, the explanation of Shmuel. Her Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, Mar Maisferle, what do you hold? Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rava, I hold, the fact that he gave her this honor, that she's considered a shut of ben abonim, that alone is enough that we could say, that enough is enough to say that of the ksubasa, that she gave up a ksuba, and she's not going to get the ksuba, even though it wasn't done with all of these details. Itma nami amrav yosef ben yuni amrav nachman kimin she'asuv shuta ben abanim. Once she was made a partner with the sons of the ksubasa, and Rav Nachman, that certainly wasn't following the opinion of Tanna Kamma, who requires ksiba in Kabbalah. He's obviously following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that any sign of acceptance is satisfactory. And that's why ksiva alone will be satisfactory. And all these other examples where kosvala, vishesekes, all of these examples, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yosef Bechanina, according to Rav Nachman, will be enough to show that she gave up a ksuba. But now ask the Gemara, by Rava, by Bari Heich, what will be the halacha if such the example that the Gemara just gave took place with a healthy man? And the Gemara elaborates. Mimrim b'shchimera hu diyada d'lesle, if by shchimera, where the wife knows because of his state, he's not going to have more assets. There, kamachlus, so if she was quiet, she was obviously meichel because she knows this is it. Avo b'bari, but by a healthy person, savra hadakani, my husband's going to have new assets. And as we said earlier in the shir, if he's going to have new assets, that she wasn't meichel on, and she'll collect the ksuba from them. Adama, right now, me lesley, and therefore he doesn't have any other assets. And the fact that she was meichel is an indication that there is a full-fledged mechila. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Says the Gemara, Huda Amala, somebody who was a shchimera, and he had two daughters. And he said, Pagra Pras, half of the assets will go to this daughter, and half of the assets will go to this daughter. V'tilsal itis bepri, and a third of the payrus should go to my wife. Says when Ichtla Rav Nachman was Sura, Rav Nachman came to the city of Sura, all Agabe Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda came to visit him. Amalei, Rav Chisda said to Rav Nachman, asked Rav Nachman, Kai Gavnamai, what will be the halacha under such circumstances? Amalei, Amish Shmuel, Afilo Hikne El Deka Echela Peresov, even if he gave her the most minimal gift of the Ksubasai, the halacha is that she loses it. And the way the Rishonim explained Rav Chisda's question is, our Gemara, we've been learning over and over that she loses a ksuba. But in all the cases that we've been learning in our Gemara is where he made her into a shutif. Here he didn't make her a shutif. Says the Gemara that Rav Nachman still said that she loses a ksuba. To which Rav Chisda asks Rav Nachman, Amalei Eimed Amar Shmuel, when did Shmuel say that? Hasam Dakna Legufa Da'ara, where she was given real property. But Hacha, all she was given is Peira. So why would we say that if she was just given Peiris, it's an indication that she's giving up a Ksuba? Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Chisda, all that she got was Peiris. But when we think about Peiris, this is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara. We could think about Peiris in two ways. We could look at Peiris that are still connected to the ground, or could be thinking about Peiris that were detached. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Chisda, when you spoke about Peiris, I assumed that the Peiris you were speaking about were Peiris that are still attached to the ground. Now you're telling me you're speaking about Peiris that are not attached? Peiris that are not attached, but tal tevada lo kamna, and that I didn't speak, and certainly there I did not mean that her acceptance of those peiris, which are metaltalin, represent that she gave up her assets. Our Gemara has been speaking extensively that what happens if somebody makes a transaction and the other person doesn't say anything, how does the halacha look at it? The Marit has the following shaila. There were two partners in a property, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven built a building on that property without permission. And Shimon says that you had no permission to put up this building. And Reuven says that you saw me putting up the building and you didn't say anything. So how does the halacha look at it? And the question is, this is very much connected to what our shir has been discussing. Do we say shtike kaido? Do we say silence represents consent? If it represents consent, then Reuven could claim, you gave me permission by not saying that. What? And especially in such a case where he was building and he should have said something. So the Maritz says that our Gemara, when it says that when the husband gave the wife the gift, we assume that she was Meichel the Ksuba, but the Gemara said a very important additional point. The Gemara began on the base, the Mekulik Ksuba Shanukan, that special by Ksuba, as we explained, because women are anxious to get married. That's why we say Shtika Kaida. But we see from here that under other circumstances, we don't necessarily say Shtika Kaida. And he says that, on the other hand, it is a halachic concept of Shtika Kaida. So the question is, how do we look at this question? What is the halacha? Do we say Shtika Kaida, and therefore Shimon has no claim, why'd you put up a building here? Or do we say that only in our case, that where there was a ksuba, a mekulik ksuba, that's why we don't say shtika kaida. And the way I think the Marit views the answer to this question is something that we said earlier in our shir. We have to see the story. We have to hear the story. We have to understand the story. And if it's obvious from the context of the story that he was Michael, if it's obvious from the concept of the story that it was Michael, then it means that he was Michael. And if not, then just because Shtika Kaida alone, we can't rely on that. Another question is when we have Mechila. So one thing we learn in our Gemara is the Mechila doesn't have to be an explicit Mechila. Even a non-explicit Mechila is considered a Mechila. But another point that we see from our Gemara is that once she was Meichel, the Mechila is final. And we can't say, well, now she realizes, or now she's retracting. Once a Mechila is done, and even though, as we're saying now, it's a Mechila that's only done belayv, the halach is that mechila is considered final.